You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to Quantum Leap Book Club. During the next hour, beloved mind scientist Parisha and her guests from around the world will read and discuss various best-selling books with well-known authors. Every show will apply retention techniques designed to help you to absorb powerful knowledge to effectively change your life. Join us every week for a thought-provoking hour and re-listen as often as you can. You will be delighted by what you learn, and you will be excited by the results. Are you ready to take the quantum leap? Here's Parisha.
Greetings. This is Quantum Leap Book Club. I'm your host, Parisha, and my co-host with me this week, we have Geraldine Dalby-Ball, who is in Sydney, Australia. We have Mike Dallaire, who is in Montreal, Canada. And we have Trina Cooper from Denver. Okay, and I have Rosemary Heyer from Frankfurt, Germany. Okay, we're moving forward. And what we have is Geraldine and this week, at least, is Geraldine and Rosemary is going to actually talk to us in depth about their perspective and review on chapter 6. But we're reading a book that is fascinating. As I teach, I like to take updates from different books and things that I'm pondering with other people. And The Secret of Quantum Living gives me almost a harvest of beautiful things to one-liners to throw in. In fact, I shared it with the co-host before the show, which is like, how powerful is the statement, doing can never get you to that which you already are, you know? And yet that to me would be the 100% base of everybody's seeking. You're seeking what you already have. That's why you keep thinking it's not there, is that you already are. And that's exactly what I feel this book brings. This book to me brings a refreshing, and I've said this many times on our show, it's refreshing from some of the very hard, basic science stuff, I guess. He gives you really easy things to do, like some of the things we'll discuss this week with you, is I went around applying something I already do. I can't say, you know, something I learned, but it was definitely something that I reviewed from a different perspective. And that's actually touching people, not rubbing people, but touching people in certain places where you're guided. Like I'm guided to touch people and touch them either shoulder or wherever. You know, I'm not talking about fondling people. I'm talking about touching people and realizing that just leaving your hand there and begin. What I do is I see energy flowing through me and coming down through me into the particular place and watching the effects on people, because you're not telling them, you're not demonstrating a healing. You're just sending them energy and seeing the outcome, and how sometimes people say, that felt so good. I felt so nurtured. Thank you for touching me, you know what I mean? And the things that come from that. So those are the kind of things that this author puts in the book that actually allows us to explore them. So I'm gonna let my co-hosts here, Rosemary and Geraldine, actually take you through some of the opening of what we're actually looking at this week. Before we do that, I actually wanted to start by reading the first opening of our chapter here, which is again, chapter 6, Quantum Entrainment. I mean, you need to go out and buy the book, even if you, if this little bit of information doesn't give you the wealth of what is in this book, I don't know what could, okay? And this is a book you'd want to go by and actually soothe yourself occasionally by reading it and kind of catching up with where you're at. He actually says here, let me underscore that being self-aware is not a process, but perception. Amen. Hallelujah. Whatever, okay? It is the shift from trying to fix your world to completely accepting it. Powerful, absolutely powerful. I could take those two sentences and talk all night about them. So let's go, Joe. Let's, Rosemary, let me hear what you got to say about that.
Yes. Chapter 6, I think still feel that it may be someone who hasn't gotten the book yet and just listening in, it might all sound very abstract and not easy to talk about it. and we are moving into realms like higher self and the nothingness and pure awareness. And it all has to do with the mind again. You know, I think the mind simply cannot understand and comprehend what we're really trying to get across. What I decided to do is I'm just going to share some of my processes and kind of weave into what is said in chapter six. So the first thing I had noticed when I was doing the stop thought exercise from chapter three, which is actually the first exercise, and I kept doing that. And I noticed after a while, when he was asking, okay, observe your thoughts, I thought, what thoughts? I can't find any thoughts, you know? And he said, kept saying, well, okay, observe your thoughts, you know, and then you say, where does my next thought come from? And I there wasn't any thoughts. And that's what he's talking about in this chapter. He's saying that if you keep observing, if you're going to be just watching your thoughts, they're going to actually fade and there's no thoughts there anymore. And that is actually the first step of the process he's sharing in this chapter, where he says that it can lead you then to the so-called you feeling, which he's introducing more in this chapter. And that you feeling rises up automatically. And it is actually very subtle, and he calls it even an ocean-like feeling, but the mind cannot really conceive it. So the mind, what the mind does, the mind basically reflects back, this feels good. This feels like stillness, joy, peace. And my mind kept feeding back to me, I came up with this words, joyful stillness or peaceful joy. And then when you are into that, that's what he calls a you feeling. That's what he calls is the higher self. And it actually is harmonizing the mind and aligning it. And the actual goal of the exercise is then to end up with an open eyes and in activity and still have that connection, still being able to feel that peace and stillness and to be in awareness of self. And he actually says, you know, it's not about finding anything, because just like his grandmother just shared, it's not about finding anything or doing anything, because pure awareness is always there. It's just about becoming aware of it. That's the key. So when I started, kept doing this exercise, and I started to kind of get it, I just felt that you feeling. When I did it again, my mind said, I got it. And I noticed how it did not wait. It made it up, you know, it made up that I'm peaceful, you know, and I was just sitting there observing it and thinking, you know, it's saying, oh, you know, you're peaceful. And I'm like, okay, hold it back. Hold your reins. Look again, you know, observe, do nothing. Just be there to just have that you feeling arise, how he speaks about it. It arises automatically. Stop trying to do it. Stop trying to have the mind figure it out. I think that is one of the main challenges in understanding the chapter and also in doing the process. And he talks about the self, and I recommend highly, especially with these chapters, to really look at the glossary and also at the Q&A section. He speaks about that the self actually is always with us. It has been always with us. It is a silent witness. And he says that a very fascinating thing, which I found real fascinating sentence, and that is, it's not the exact quote, but he said something like, the self, the higher self, the soul, the spirit, the spark of God arises out of pure awareness, nothingness. So I was thinking, well, how? And then he says, when there is something to observe. So I thought, wow, this is interesting. And I just kind of likened it to the metaphor we sometimes heard, that we, the self, is a wave on top of the nothingness and the endlessness of the ocean, or the vastness of the ocean. And that's how I interpretate this saying, that the self comes actually out of the pure awareness. And he likens it to a light bulb. You know, the pure awareness is the electricity going through the bulb. And when the light goes on, that's the self. So, and then it can go back again, you know, it just folds back into it. And I thought that was really fascinating to see that we are just this wave in the ocean. We're going up, and the ocean will never be the same after we have been a wave. It will never be the same, but we're just the way. And I thought that was really interesting. And one of the benefits, as it said in the beginning, he describes is really the idea that we have complete acceptance. And he says that it actually complete acceptance, that is what you experience when you are more and more in that awareness of self, is actually what avoids suffering. It diminishes suffering. Yes, there will be challenges and there will be obstacles because they are needed for us to grow, but we don't need to suffer. And I really think that is the most important benefit for me, is that I have more peaceful moments. That's all I can say right now. I cannot say that I'm not anymore at all suffering, but I am noticing that this process makes me more peaceful and my reactions are a little bit less intense or not existing maybe sometimes. So, and again, the most important thing is do nothing. Just allow it to happen, allow it to rise and do the exercise. And we're probably going to get to it more later. I just want to stop now. Thank you.
Really good. Okay. So basically in the things that you're sharing, what challenges you when you are working with this information? What is your challenge? Like you shared that, you know, you're reminding yourself to relax. It comes and you don't have to do that. But you also knew that you were making, but you just shared with us, you said you realized you were making it up that you were happy, peaceful, or joyful, right?
Well, the challenge seems to be that when you do a process like this and you think you finished and you think, I got it, I experienced the peace, I experienced the stillness, that your mind grasps it, you know, and your mind wants to control it and says, okay, I can handle that. I make it up, you know, I can do that now. And I think somewhere he says in his biography, I think he said somewhere that in the moment you allow the mind to take over, you're out of it, you know, you're not doing any more QE, you're doing something the mind wants to do. So just to not allow that, or maybe not allow is already a doing, but maybe to go back to observing. And I notice then that it calms down. There's no thoughts anymore. And I can go and the feeling arises again.
I actually have been really working with that with some of the scientists in the lab where we're doing a lot of brain scans and still quite a bit of brain research. And what we seem to not understand, we being the human with the brain, okay, that when we're talking, we're connected to the body mind, okay? It's when we're not talking to ourselves or to something or whatever, and actually to just exist without words. I feel that what I've seen in the exercises here in our book, okay, that Frank actually does his best to get us to stop thinking and just sit here and just for a while observe yourself, you know. And even in observing yourself, you know, if you do it, like some of the students I work with said, they caught themselves talking to the observance of themselves. I told them, I don't know how you can do that, but how would you describe that? And they said, well, it's like I'm sitting and I am observing that I am observing, but I hear myself tell myself that I'm observing you, okay? And like, it's really learning and realizing how much you got to shut off your own dialoguing. You really do, you know, it's right there. And to do that takes a lot of patience and a focus. It really does. So Geraldine, you want to add to some of that?
Yes, certainly. Particularly with what you were just saying then, because there's a key part that stands out where Frank shares with us, and he actually says, you know, you are, if you're doing that, you are acting as body mind. And that was one of the things that we know we've had discussions, particularly with you for a long time, that body mind is a wonderful thing and a tremendously awesome gift. And I think through what I'm reading at the moment, where it says being self-aware, as you said, is not a process but a perception. Which bit am I having perceptions of? Because then I can switch. And I almost look at that movie, The Avatar, because in this section, you switch between being self-aware of the body-mind or being aware that we are a spirit, whatever people use for, you know, the continuing, as he says in a previous chapter, the self is unbounding and eternal. So which one am I actually being aware of? And through the book, he says that it's about quantum entrainment. I just wanted to touch on that word again. I know we talked about it in the opening of our book, but to entrain something is to bring it into your flow, bring it into your experience. And for me, doing a lot of environmental work, the analogy that the example of one of the definitions that works for me is when you see some clean water, for example, going over a piece of exposed ground that has a lot of clay, the water, without doing anything different, the clay particles start to move into it. And you can see the water change from clear to, you know, a milky yellow color. I'm not saying it's bad or good, but just that's entrainment. It just happens. So to look out into the environment and see things just happen. And then how does it just happen? And as he says in this chapter, entrainment is a process that alters our perception by eliminating movement, leaving us self-aware. And I was like, this is one I've highlighted in red. I highlight things in blue that I'm like, yeah, that's really nice. I highlight ones in red that I'm like, okay, read that again. And this was one, entrainment being a process that alters our perception. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to be looking differently, but am I looking differently through my eyes? Is that my perception? Or is my perception different? But as we've shown in previous chapters, as he says, do the unconventional, turn around and look at the black hole behind us that is streaming out the light that's making the projection of the movie in front of us. So is my perception here, where it says quantum entrainment alters our perception, does that mean I start looking more at the source of the lights that create the flickering on the screen that is the mind-body experience that I have? Or are we talking about the perception that's in my eyes? And then I realize I'm going through all of this, and the next paragraph says, stop thinking. It's not about that. And I'm like, I love this book because, you know, my academic mind comes in and goes, I can understand that. I'm a scientist. I've deducted stuff. And then it's like, great. I'm glad you just realized that about yourself. Now it's nothing. And the specific line in the chapter even says, you do not need to understand God. You do not need to manage the pieces of your life to know wholeness. For me, I have double highlighted that one. You do not need to manage the pieces of your life to know wholeness. I found myself saying, I'll organize this piece, I organize this piece, and when I get that piece done and this piece. And that line was like, did they slip that in just for me? So I feel, again, if any one of us have a line that we feel is for us, there are so many lines just in a page of this book. Please get it, because a line that jumps out to you one day, it'll be a different line that jumps out another day. And that's what I found, because I've read it. And as I mentioned, people probably know because I mention it each time, I go walking with the audiobook and standing and being somewhere. And that definitely helps as well. And the key thing that helped there was another part that it said that self-awareness is when there's a permeation of peace. So peace permeates, which means peace moves inside you, and there's a fulfillment from that. So I think the key things I got from the chapter were this: being self-aware is not a process. I don't need to manage the pieces of my life, all the little bits. And that a peace that comes in allows you to, it doesn't make everything good. It allows you to pick between the horrors of life is another thing that it says. So it gives that ability to pick between them. And the last one I'll conclude on for this little sharing here is that he also says that if you can look past when you look out into the world and you're looking, say, at what you might call others out there, you look past the reflected imperfections. And even that's interesting. So we're looking at imperfections and they're reflecting, which means they're coming back to us. We're seeing them. Look past those reflected imperfections and see the vibrating peace and stillness of the EU feeling, new feeling, which, as he shared in the beginning, is what one could call, you know, the the oneness or the continuous energy that's between us all, and you recognize, you know, past those reflected imperfections, the vibrating peace and stillness, and then we can recognize it as our own and we're truly one. All of this is in a couple of pages. So yeah. That's my sharing.
But neither one of you spoke about the particular unique word he has with feelings, you feelings. Okay. And is there any of the other co-hosts that would like to add something on their experience with that? Anybody give any particular highlight to that?
Grandmother, I could throw in an experience I had as I was reading through the chapter and doing the exercises. I couldn't help thinking, man, this all sounds so easy when you read it in the book. And when I sit there, my mind just does not want to disengage from any of those pictures going by and wants to grab onto each one and, like, you know, suck all the interest out of it before it lets it go. I have a hard time letting my mind just flow along on this peaceful path that he describes. So that's been my challenge, I would say.
Oh, really good. On page 72 in our book, there's a little diagram and it's a light bulb. Okay. And he actually gives an example here. Okay. That from and underneath the light is an arrow. So he's saying that when as Rosemarie pointed out, he uses the word rises as the energy rises or the feeling rises. And he sees it, he's showing that there is obviously this, you know, pure awareness that's coming in to our mind, or that we're in the state of pure awareness. And then the light bulb, actually just the inside, the filament part of the light bulb, is where we actually are feeling the pure light. Okay. And then what we're having the hardest time with is not that that phase is so subtle. See, we're looking for something to announce itself, to be profound. We're listening for the thunder, right? Okay, and that's not how pure awareness is. It's the in-between. Remember, it's the in-between time of decisions. It's so subtle. It's so very subtle because it's so very definitely the vastness of what we are, that beautiful awareness. And so then he shows on the light bulb, arrows coming away from the light bulb, which is actually then at this point, emotions and the particular need for us to try to express that or put a word to it. And there isn't any word. I mean, after years here at 80 years old, I'd have to say 70 of those 80 years old has been exploring this. And it's such a subtle energy for you to actually think that you can reference it in a description or give it some kind of word definition. It's impossible. And it is the best that I have come with my own work with it is just simply to say, I recognize the nothingness, because there are moments, especially now in my life, maybe it's the senior moments I'm talking about here, okay? But I have moments to where I know that when I'm in meditation, I am aware I am in meditation, and I am aware that there is nothingness. And after that feeling there is, and I've had many teachers share that with me, that's when the Kundalini moves, and you actually have this little jolt of sensation that many of them will actually compare to a climax, a sexual climax. Mine doesn't come anywhere near that. It is an electrifying, though, I will have to say that, and that it moves from the root chakra right on up through the top, and I'm aware that the top of my head opens, and there's just absolutely splendid, fantastic, what I don't know what word you could use enough of just an experience of movement and color and stuff like that. And then I realize then I come back into cellular awareness. But he does have techniques here, and definitely you want to deal spend some time in the reading of how he brings us to understanding those feelings. It's really, really very, very good. Okay, we're going to move on over to chapter 7, and that would be Michael and Trina and Marianne. So what did you guys get out of chapter 7? Either one of you speak up.
Okay, so this is an interesting chapter because he kind of basically says, okay, I've teased you up till now about all of the things that you're going to get from this technique. This is the chapter where he really lays it out for us. And what he does right at the beginning is he says, the idea here, and he talks about it as what he says is the physical healing. He says, okay, this chapter is dedicated towards how do we use this technique to heal somebody, basically, to create difference, in this case, healing. He makes a detour right at the beginning of the chapter where he says, he explains it's all based on what he calls the quantum entrainment triangulation technique. And I was going to explain just kind of briefly what the quantum entrainment triangulation technique is, because let's face it, listen, you got to get this book because all of these techniques are kind of are laid out really easily and nicely. And this man is a master storyteller, presenter, teacher. He lays things out very, very nicely. In this chapter, we're talking about part of what he does is right at the end of the chapter, because this chapter not only teaches us the technique, it also teaches us and lays out a summary of everything we've learned up till now. This is the end of part one, this chapter. And so at the end, he gives us a step-by-step summary of what we've learned throughout this whole section of the book. And, you know, anyone who is a good teacher, good storyteller, good presenter knows you tell people what you're going to tell them, then you tell them, and at the end, you reiterate what you've told them. And that's exactly what he does. He makes it easy to understand, easy to remember, easy to relate, easy to tie all together. And I suspect one of the other two people are probably going to walk us through the technique, maybe, or I'm not sure if you want to do that or not, but it's you got to get the book, you got to do it, you got to practice it. And like I said, with my own problems, I realize it took me a while to get to the point where I could really appreciate everything he's talking about here. But he says the whole technique is based on what he says is relaxation. And the idea is that rest is a universal healer. Everything needs to rest in order to heal. And that the deeper the rest, the deeper the healing that can take place. So what the technique does is it teaches your body to get in a very deep rest in a very short period of time, and you get extremely profound healing.
Okay, very, very good. So, Marianne?
Hi, everyone. Yes, I'm here from Melbourne, Australia. So what I got out of this is basically, if I understand it correctly, we're going into the you feeling. And then by going into that space of pure awareness does the healing on others. So he's given us a way to direct that awareness towards healing others. And I find this I found this so challenging when I sat down to tune into the actual you feeling, because once I sat there to actually do something, to create something, I noticed that then I was thinking about doing it. And I got into loops and loops of thoughts. And I know what he's talking about is simply go into a space of observation and let go of ego and let go of thinking I'm doing anything in particular and stop owning it and stop trying to control it and doing all those things. And so I noticed this just by doing something I would call a practice in itself actually caused me to think more about the practice itself and less of the actual effect I'm sure he's trying to help me get. So it actually got another layer of complication because I was then doing something. It was like, I'm sure at other times in my meditations when I've just been hanging out observing that I've actually probably sat more in the you feeling that he's talking about than when I actually tried to do the practice that he's talking about. I don't know if others had that same experience, but I'm sure it's just getting more and more experience with doing it. But this is a beautiful part of the book because it's about how do you help others once you've connected in with such a beautiful place yourself. And he's given us the tools for that.
Okay, the chapter that we're referencing here is 7, and it's applying quantum entrainment. What did you think of the fact that he's saying that he's given us practices and things that we can apply? How do you feel that's going for you? Are you doing the exercises?
Well, the first exercise I thought was really important was getting into the quantum entrainment, actually feel the you feeling, because this chapter is all about once you experience it yourself, because you've got to hold that space within you. And from holding that space, then you can deliver it to others, basically, if I've understood it correctly. So then the first step is not just pretending you can hold that space and sort of superficially going, I'm a good person, I can send it to others, is actually living and holding that space. And then from there, it can be sent, you know, it can really help. So I'm in the process personally of really getting what is this you feeling in the way he's talking about it, and nailing that before I start to send that off to others. You know, I'm trying to do it in the way he's teaching it, as opposed to other ways we've, you know, learnt about it in other different forums. Yeah.
So Trina, have you got any ideas? Like, can you share with us some of the particular things he's saying and how we can actually at this point actually help get involved? I didn't so much get the particular slant you put on it, Michael, that he was giving us some healing methods and stuff. Whilst I'm sure you could use it in applying quantum entrainment in chapter 7, I actually realized that what he's saying is it isn't about, okay, the minute we decide that we're healing, we've put our stuff on it. Now it can't be whatever is coming from the unknown. We have now intended, we put intent on it. So basically what I hear Frank doing over and over is trying to lure us into allowing ourselves to experience outside ourselves and let the unknown become apparent to us. And that's not what's happening. Everybody is still in the control situation of saying what it is, defining it, making it something. And I can share with my own experience for the majority of my life, there are no words and you cannot explain it. And the most you could do is get frustrated trying to help people find it, okay? And trying to, in some way, maybe say something that can help them find that particular inroads and path. And he does that very good here in 7, and actually the application of it. And what I talked about before, one of the things that he did share is something I do all the time. It's like when I go someplace and I don't really want to stand out in the crowd or anything, but I want to do my work. And I go around, and most of the time I'll touch people on their forearm or on their around their wrist, you know, or touch their hand. And it's just a matter of the touch. And what he's actually calling here, okay, the actual transferring of that, or the particular word that he uses, applying it, okay, you're actually moving it, is that I just allow whatever. I don't particularly need to tell anybody, or God especially, or spirit, or whatever your words are for it, what to do. All I need to say is, I'm the instrument, let me move, okay? And then, like, when I go, I'm in that mindset and I go working what I would call working the room, I go touching people, saying a few cheerful words or something, or just kind of chiming in on their conversations and that, but I touch them. And my whole intent is that touch. Sometimes, like he says in the book, we can touch people at the back of their neck. I find if people are sitting and I can see that they're dealing with a lot of stressful stuff, that's exactly what I do. I just touch them at the back, at the base of their head, on their back. And I don't particularly have any thoughts of, you know, releasing their stress or whatever. I just allow it to flow. And that's what I feel that he's expressing here. My way of saying that would be, I just touch and allow the energy to flow, whatever this person needs, whoever and from wherever it needs to come. Okay, I'm just a coagulating force here. And what I have from that is such in-depth experiences of such a state of love. I'm calling it love because I don't know anything it could be but love. But there are sensations and feelings. And like I said, what is happening inside my cellular mass in those times is what keeps me moving, keeps me young at heart, and keeps me very much productive, is that is everything. To understand the very essence of life and the power of what we now know through exploring quantum reality. And all we have to do is get the ignorance out of the way, get the control and the fear out of the way, because it's all there. The minute we feel we know something, have something, or want to make something of it, we screw it up. It's a matter of relaxing, letting it flow, and not needing to give it a name, give it an intent. We don't need to cut its path. We just need to be still and let it flow. And he does a fantastic job of putting that into words in chapter 7. So I was wondering, Trina, did you catch any of that? And do you use any of that?
Well, it was interesting because he basically in this chapter tells us that you can be in the presence, you can be remote, you can do it for short periods of time, you can do it for long periods of time, you know, the practice, but it works it because it does it. You don't do anything, it does it. And there was a quote that he said, pure awareness is not ignorant or directionally challenged. And I was like, that's really cool. And it knows what to do because it created the apparent problem and knows where to go because it's already there. And my mind, of course, got tied up in this a little bit, thinking about it, going, it created it? Well, we talk about being co-creators. So pure awareness is behind everything. And so as we tap in, as we allow ourselves to kind of let go of all these constructs around it, we begin to feel it. And when we begin to feel it, everything around us, everything we touch begins to feel it, which is because we go back into that oneness again, which is really awesome. And, you know, he actually made a point of saying that, you know, you can use a doll, you can use your body, you can use picture, you can do that. But he goes, really, all those things are just things to keep the mind busy. And I was like, oh, yeah, that is true. If we could just let go of all those things, we would get to the pureness and not need anything in order to step into the space. And it reminded me of some times where I really felt this. And one in particular was really letting go of control of a situation and this pure bliss. This amazing peace and bliss just flowed over me. And as he was explaining in the book, I thought, oh, my mind can tap back into that feeling. You know, I can go there whenever I need to. And what I've noticed as I've practiced and sat with this, not necessarily with other people, but more with myself at this point, I can feel the love. I can feel my heart opening. And what's interesting in situations where I've been using it with myself, when I'm feeling this stress and I just take a moment and I clear my mind and I let the thoughts go and I take a breath or find something to do and I start talking, you know, if it's a situation where there's a conflict or something, people are saying to me, well, how can you think that way? Or how can you look at it this way? Or why aren't you getting riled up about something? And I feel so peaceful, but more clear in what I'm doing and what I'm using. And it's just, there's a lot who don't understand the place I'm coming from in some instances, because I really do feel a joy and a presence in different folks. And some of the little bits at the end where he does do a review, and he goes, you know, quantum entrainment is self-awareness, anchoring the joy of you feeling. And that's really what I've been looking at this week is, you know, what is you feeling, and where is that space, and where is that quiet, and just the allowing, not the controlling, but opening up and allowing whatever's needed to come through. It just feels really, really, I don't know, I guess I got super excited about the fact that I can live my life from this place. And it gives me such a joy to think I can, whenever I want to, whenever I think of it, I can go into it. Reminded me of a time when I had met this rabbi, and they were teaching something about, you know, what if every minute or two you remembered about God being everywhere? And he said, just imagine what your life would be like if God was there every second for you. And that's what, to me, this was like, is like really reminding and like remind myself about the potential, about what's really behind the little me, and where I can operate from. So that's kind of what came up in this, just going through the review and the that self-awareness can enrich your life on every level. And I love that, because it really does make your life joyful no matter what happens. So that's kind of what I pulled out.
Definitely how he puts it, that, you know, when we feel what he's calling entrainment and the quantum entrainment, okay, is when you actually know that the world is, you know, everything is as it needs to be. And then we have all of the feelings of what we want that to happen. So mind is active in it. Okay, there's no greater time in the history of our evolution that the old ones I work with and the timeless ones that I definitely connect with, no greater time than now in the world that we're living in. You know, what we want to take very much awareness of is that there is no particular countries, like here with us, we're in different countries and we're in different locations. And here in North America, it wouldn't matter. Just because you're in North America, each state is having its own individual experience, okay, let alone its little communities inside the state. And that how everything that actually is revealing itself in quantum theory and in the sciences, the new sciences, and especially the understanding of the black holes, is that we are in the evolution of that. We are in the evolution of that, and in it, all the things, you know, any of the hidden ids or the corruptions or anything that we're all witnessing and seeing, how things have not been maybe as we had hoped they would be, or that, okay, that's just what it is. It has to be. I love it because it goes way back for me, 50 years here, when Dr. Phil, okay, actually said, okay, if you own it, you can change it. So it's in the denials that we actually sustain and freeze something in time. But if we can actually look at it and own it, then we can change it. So instead of trying to evade or to deny, to look at it. So how else can we do that than having a global situation? Every country is experiencing what's on North America and anywhere else. What kind of power can actually put the planet in the same moment time, experiencing and dealing with the same situations? I'm an international person. I am an Earth citizen. So I have families in every country. Every land I've ever had my feet on became home for whatever time that was. And they're coming in, and I get thousands and thousands and thousands of people talking. I don't have time to even look at all that is being coming in. I just have to then shut it off and go just allow myself to flow with it. all the questions, no matter what country, the questions are the same. No matter what country, the fear is the same. No matter what country, the hope is the same. We're not alone. The planet itself is experiencing us in its emotions. And what does it take, like this beautiful work that Frank has done? Just relax. You know, I am definitely an activist. Don't hear me saying that I sit someplace on some plane, meditation plane, inactive and doing OM. No, I don't. Okay. But I am open enough to know that what's happening right now is part of the whole of what needs to happen. My reaction is only what part of it is mine to be. Where do I need to be in this? And taking sides does not exist in Nuwati, in the way I live, practice, and am, that I am, says there's no sides. So to actually find myself in the middle of the medicine wheel or the life wheel, the sun wheel, and looking at all of the opposites of each other, that's harmony. That's harmony. Yeah, over there is hate. Yeah, over there, there's love. Yeah, but right here in the middle, it's harmony. And how do I remain harmony when there's so many diverse situations going on and there's hurtful things and there's suffering things and, you know, all of the many things that you can get yourself onto? The only way that we can be an instrument in that is to have that peace, what Frank is calling here, the entrainment, just to be. But remember, what we are being is broadcasting. What we are sitting here and maintaining is flowing from us leaps and bounds and so powerful that you can sit there in your meditation for 5-10 minutes and you have already touched every cell, every atom of the solar system that you're in. And it's on its way beyond that solar system. 10 minutes of your concentrated time. And you're gone, you're out there, and it's happening. And see, I can sit in a laboratory and in a research place, and I can see you. I can tap into how the science have it now. We can just about go anywhere and look in anybody's house and in your car, wherever we can find you, okay? And look for the places where we see the particular energy that we know is meditation, and we can key in there. And then just start following how it begins to multiply itself, how it begins to move in a nanosecond. You are past the sun in a nanosecond. Not a second, not a minute, not a breath. Just right there. So we are constantly in that state. And this beloved person is trying to give it a name, entrainment. But how we get there is we just let ourselves not take sides. Let ourselves just be. And listen, I'm not saying that thinking that, okay, you're just going to go over there and turn that on. You're going to make it hard. You're going to have your own idea, and you're going to have your own thoughts of how this should go about and how you're going to make it happen. But it's surrender. See, the word that mankind does not work with in a good way, when the religions used it, everybody ran, okay? Surrender. Surrender says, I don't need any of this. You know, I'm simply complicating it. It's already here. I can't create it. It's already done. What I can do is be of it. In learning to do that so many years ago, I actually experienced where people were at that were, I mean, I went and wanted to explore the minds of serial killers and other people and look, because I had such judgment of them, okay? To think of somebody that could get off on killing somebody and making them suffer, I had no way that I could actually fathom that. So I studied them and I got to sit and interview a couple and I got to do my thing watching their head. I ended up with compassion. I expected to have some satisfaction of just telling them what I felt about that, but I had compassion. I started looking at that one little incident way, way back there in that vulnerable little boy's life and how right then the world changed. And then I begin to understand the microscopic level of what we are. See, we deal only with this gross form. We only deal with the gross physicalness of what life is. Oh, beloveds, that is nothing. What is with that? What moves through that? Cannot put your thought to it. Your thought simply impairs it. But you can open and you can surrender. You can give up trying to make it happen. You can just relax. You can take a deep breath and be comfortable. You can walk through a room where you see people all tense, just working very hard. And for just a brief second, remember that nanosecond. All you have to do is just lightly touch them. And if you know the science as well as I know, you know there's no such thing as touch. That when you put your hand on any surface, it's an exchange of molecules and atoms. It's not a touch. There's no skin there. And then you begin to just one time grasp that. Just one time. Look at the fact that you just briefly laid your hand on the shoulders of this beloved. And when you move your hand away, how they move their shoulders back and relax. We are what we pray for. You ever hear that? We are what we're waiting for. We're in the midst of the boil. The purge is nothing other than a word that says everything hidden is becoming transparent. And transparency brings what? Clarity, truth, agreement. Okay, so things are becoming transparent. We're a part of that. What you are is already there. What you're trying to find when I work with a lot of you with your medicine names, that name already described you. It didn't say this is what you got to go find or you got to go find that name. That name says that's what you stand there as. That's what it is. When you go into your studies and you look at what Frank keeps bringing you back, just sit down and relax and just experience this. Do you know how powerful that split second is or that nanosecond? Between you and the next thought, the subtleness of it. You don't even know it's there till you brought your attention to it. That's forever. That is what is real. And that's nothing. That's nothingness. Our experience here as a body is to know thyself, this unique individual altar. In my language, we don't have a word for body. What you call a body is an altar. And our altar is what we attend. Our altar is what we talked with. And in it, when Frank puts what I've put in, all of the little practices and exercises, and he comes up with such just normal, beautiful, simple, uncomplicated things. There's that moment to where there is that big, aha, yeah. Like Rosemary had said earlier, yeah, I got it. Do we? Are we trying to make it acceptable to our expectation? Here at 80 years old, and working my 81st pathway here on this planet, I don't have time for any of that anymore. And to work with people and to talk with people is to give them permission to be themselves. With all of the tablets I've read and of all the beautiful messages that have been left for us through time, time before time, it all says the same thing, that we are of the one, that there isn't any number, there is just one. And when I relate that to my body, my altar, I realize that this one here, Parashah, this altar, is billions and billions and trillions of cells with consciousness that identifies itself as an I am. And if this altar is but one of that, or a singleness of that, and how many more there are, and then how many more outside that, do you understand how there's no way we could be separated? That when we take these little moments that Frank gives us on these exercises, that's just a moment of a breath of allowing ourselves to stop the insanity of control and thinking that we know how to make it right. It is right. And it's doing exactly what it has to do to work itself out and about what it needs to do. Can you accept that? Can you accept yourself? Can you call your flaws something beautiful? Can the mistakes you make, can you see that they're there just to show you another reflection? They don't damn you. This is a retake. How do you learn? You learn through mistakes. Anybody that actually knows that they are intelligent or feel they are a very educated and well-known person, they didn't get there unless they make mistakes. The mistakes tell us where to change it, how to go, and how to finally find where it is. So perfect? What does perfect get anything? And what can perfect serve if I can't learn unless I make that mishap? See, we could talk about this forever, but in this book, there are so many little hidden treasures to where you go in there and you find that simple little exercise. I gave 5 of these books away at travel. I do that when I find a book I'm very happy with. I start spreading them around. And I was at a shopping mall, so I bought them in the store and I went and gave them away as I was moving through the mall getting my other stuff. And as I came out of the store and I was walking through the middle of the mall, I saw one of the men that I had given the book to. And I got so excited and happy, I had to go to the bathroom. Okay, I saw him open the book. He obviously just got the book, but he wasn't on the first page. He had gone into the book a bit, and he was sitting there doing the exercise. He was sitting in a mall with all these people in this noise, and they had some big music thing going, everything, but he was in his own bubble. I mean, he was just in his own field and bubble, and he went in and he did that exercise. And While I'm observing him doing the exercise, okay, I walk around and I have to go kind of around a display and some kind of center thing they had going, and went around, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't disturb him. So I purposely went to the other side of the mall, and I could see him, but I see him at a distance. He opened his eyes. He looked across the mall and he waved at me. Now, maybe you say coincidence, I say perception, that we identified of each other. See, there's these outstanding awareness and these moments of proof that we take so for granted. But what you do, and I trust with all my heart and every cell and atom of my being knows that that is what I am. What I do for others and how I can enhance the life of someone else makes my life powerful. Makes me so full and overflowing of love and gratitude that there is nothing that I could ever want for. That's what we're doing here. This word entrainment, I would like you to get the book and go back and read chapter 6 and 7. Go in there and know that when you come out, you're going to have some answers. And better yet, you're going to have the proof that there is no other you. Your fingerprint tells you that, and that there is unique purpose to that. And do not role model your beautiful self to anyone. Search and find that beautiful, powerful reason that you have an altar and you're in the earth at this time. Observe it. Always emanate what you want it to be. And we will see the world come that which is beautiful and peaceful. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Okay, stay aware. OCO.
Thank you for listening to Quantum Leap Book Club. For more information where you can contact us, go to loaradionetwork.com/quantum-leap. Have a great week.